Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos. We're going to finish off Daf Pei Gimel Omud Beis, and we're going to do Mitzvah Shem Pei Dalet and catch up another Omud. We are learning today Le'ila Nishmas Morris Appel, Mordechai Ber Ben Peretz. All the Shams we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin towards the bottom of Pei Gimel Omud Aleph, four lines up from the bottom with the words Ibarluhu. So the Beis Medrash, they ask the following Shaila, Ibarluhu. Kanu Miyado Mahu. In yesterday's shiur, we talked about that if the husband says, Lo din udvarim, I shouldn't have any litigation with you. So we said that doesn't go and do anything. Lo asav lo midi. However, now we're asking, what happens if he made a kinyan? He said, din udvarim, I will not have anything to do with you, but he made a kinyan. So it's not just either words or even written down, but he made a kinyan with it. So he made a kinyan sudar. So with this, does this change the din around to say that it's worthless? So that's what they asked in the Beis Medrash. Konum yadu mahu. If they made a kinyan, with this change the din and say that what he said, din udvarim, ainli binichasach, that would take effect. Some of Yosef tells us, no, doesn't make any difference. Midin udvarim kanu miyadu, because all he's doing by making this kinyan is establishing what he said orally or wrote down in a document, which is worthless, as we discussed in the end of yesterday's shiur. And therefore, Rav Yosef holds that even making a kinyan doesn't accomplish anything. Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman Omar, migufa shel karka kanu miyado. If in fact he goes and makes a kinyan, that takes effect on the guf of the karka, and therefore it does make in fact his statement, his either document or his statement, din udvarim, ainli binichasech, to go and be a valid kinyan. Now, Omar Abaye says, Nistabra, Milsud Rav Yosef, it makes sense that what Rav Yosef said is right under what circumstances we turn to pay Gimel Omud Beis, the Orer, as Rashi points out on the top, Rashi, Kishaba Chavei Rozel Ahachzik Bechoko, when the guy comes to go make a kinyan now, because you said you're not going to go and deal with this and litigate with this, so he comes to make a kinyan on it, so Lahachzik Bechoko, Miyad Omar Ve'irer Alamatona. He says, no, I'm protesting. I'm not allowing my wife to go and give you this item as a gift. The Omar, when I said, Lo nasati l'cho esasodeh v'dinu dvarim bi'almo amarati loch shelo ariv imcha. I said, I won't litigate with you about it, but it doesn't mean that I'm allowing you to just come and take it. And therefore, the din would be that the words don't count. However, I will be omed. In this situation, where it took a couple of days, as Rashi says, "Diva Masal Avol Omer Yomu Yemayim," a day or two later, and then V'Yachakach Yirin, how he protests. So then, in that situation, his kinyan does in fact establish it. The Hashda Hu Dikol Haderbe, because only he's retracting a day or two later. Limdu Litokach, and somebody taught him to do this because the in fact his original kinyan that he said Dinu Dvarim Einli Binichasech does take effect. So we have two different opinions. As to, if you do say that it's worthwhile, it may be only in a situation of ba'omeid, but not be'orir. How do we paskin on our meimar? Hilchasa, migufa shel karka konu miyado. We paskin like the second opinion, like the opinion that we just brought down in the name of Rav Nachman, migufa shel karka konu miyado, that it does in fact make a kinyan. But did he mean it under both circumstances of orir and omeid, or just under omeid? So that's the question that we now ask. When a Meimer says the halach is migufa shel karka konu miyado, is it in both situations or not? So Amar Rav Ashi la Meimer, Rav Ashi says to a Meimer, is it in both, ba'orer, or be'omeid, or is it only in ba'omeid, the day or two later? A Meimer says, who cares? Lamai nafkibina, what difference does it make? So Meimer says, no, because this goes l'chad Rav Yosef, in accord with what Rav Yosef said, explaining Abaya, that if he protests it, so then it's omeid, yes, that would count, but orer, it wouldn't count. So therefore, the nafkamina would be this statement that Rav Yossi was explaining about it, would be the nafkamina. So Amemah says, Amalei, Sister Ravashi, lo shmiyali, kiloma, lo svirli. I never heard that distinction, and therefore, I don't agree with it. And therefore, he holds that when we hold migufa shokarka, konu miyado, it applies both in orer and in omeid. Then quote the Mishnah said, imkein, loma, kosav, lo chule. So what's the purpose of writing din udvarim einli binichasech if it doesn't have any effect? So we had already explained, because it does at least allow her to go and either sell or give it away, and he won't go and protest it. So Gemara says, V'teimo lei, mikol mili, salikis nafshach. Why are we only limiting it to the case of a sale or giving it away? Why don't we say that in the other two things as well, that he shouldn't yarshin it after her death, and that he's not entitled to the payrolls, those also should be effective by him saying, Dinu dvarim ein li binichasech, I don't have anything to do with it. So why does it only apply to one thing, that he doesn't protest the sale, but he does still protest and keeps the rights to the peros, and he inherits her after she dies? So that's what the Gemara asks. V'teimo lei, mikol mi lei, salikas nashach. Why don't we say that the wife says, since you said dinu dvar mainly ben chasech, that I should be able to go and not inherit you with this. When I die, you shouldn't inherit it. My family should inherit it. And likewise, you shouldn't be entitled to the peiros. I get the peiros. So Abaye says, because yad balashtar latachtona, because even though she has a shtar saying that this goes and takes effect, like the opinion of Renachman that we just brought down, nevertheless, it's only going to take effect for the minimal amount that we can have it take effect. Yad balashtar ala tachtona. As Rashi brings down, kalamotzi shtar la muchsok badover, if somebody goes and produces a shtar against somebody who's muchsok in it and he has possession of it, mashi mefurish bishtar yochol lidvo alob. What's in the shtar he can go and claim. The imashtar sosum, but if the shtar is not clear, moridin also lepachos shebimashmos hashtar. Then you only do the minimal amount that the shtar definitely has, and here it's only one of the three things, not all three. Again, the three things are: she can go sell it right away; he's entitled to the peiros, and she could argue that he's not entitled to the peiros in this situation. And after Rachmanos son, she dies, he would inherit her, so she could argue, no, it's all three of them. So Abaye is telling us, no, it's only one, and the weakest one, which is the fact that he doesn't protest her selling it right now, but he doesn't give up his rights to the Paris right now, and he doesn't give up his rights to it. If she passes away, then he inherits her. Nuri says, so why did you pick that it's the sale of the property, that when she is Mocheris, or if she gives it away as a present, that he can't protest? Maybe he's giving himself still the right to prevent her from selling it, but he's giving up the rights to the payros. Why don't we say that's the one of the three that he's only giving up? So Amar Abaye says, no. Botsina tov mikora. The way Rashi understands this is that this is the same type of a fruit, a gourd, and that the larger one is going to take a long time for it to mature into this larger one, so it's better to take the small gourd when it's able to be eaten and not take it later on when it's going to be much larger. So in this situation, he's willing to give up the larger things and only say, yes, you can sell the property and I won't protest that. That's called the botsina. That's the small gourd, because the other things, the peiros, is a much bigger thing. And certainly inheriting it after death is a much bigger thing. That's why Rashi understands that the botsina and the kra are the same type of a fruit or gourd. Just one is earlier in the process of maturation, one is later in the process of maturation. Tosis has essentially the same idea, except he says it's two different species, and one of them is smaller, one of them is larger, and the smaller species will mature faster, so you'd rather have that smaller species than the other species. But it's the same idea. Basically, Abaye is saying that the least of the three, which is giving up the right to go and protest her selling it or giving it away, that's the least valuable of all three. Maintaining the rights to eat the peiros and certainly inheriting it after death, those are things that are much more important than that he's not giving up. Nugua says, why not? The Imam Yerusha, maybe it's the Yerusha that he's giving up. After all, if he dies before her, he doesn't inherit her. So that may be something relatively simple that he's giving up, because she may not predecease him. He may predecease her. So he says, no, I'm Rabbi, that too. Misa Shlicha, death is unfortunately going to occur to everybody, hopefully at the age of 120, in good health and happiness. But Mechira, to sell it, lo Shlicha, that's unusual. So therefore, that's less of a valuable thing. And therefore, he gives up the least valuable thing. That's the right to prevent her from selling it. Because death will occur. It's only a question. If she dies first and he inherits the whole thing, he wouldn't want to give up that huge windfall that he would get if he inherits all of her properties. And therefore, Mechima Salik Inish Tavshei, when he says dinu dvarim enu b'nechasayach, and he makes a kinyan on it, mimusad lo shlicha, he does it with something that's not common, which is for her to sell her properties or give them away. As opposed to mimusad shlicha, as opposed to her dying, lo misalik inish nafshe, he won't give up that. So that's the first explanation why we're saying over here that if he's only making a kinyan and it's on one of the things, it's going to be on the ability for him to protest her selling it or giving it away, that he gave up. But the peros, the right to the peros right now, and the right to inherit her after she predeceases him, he didn't give up. Ravashi says you can make a deal from the words themselves. Ravashi Amar, b'nechasayich, when he says, dinu dvarim enli b'nechasayich, that's what he said. I won't have anything to do with your properties, which means your right to sell the properties. He didn't mention anything about below b'perusem, and therefore that he retains. And similarly, he said, b'nechasayich, with your ability to sell right now, below yachamisa, but nothing to do with inheriting your properties. So Ravashi is medayich from the words themselves that he said, dinu dvarim enli b'nechasayich, and he didn't mention the perusem or the Yerusha, le'achamisa, and therefore that isn't included in what he made a kinyan on. We quote the Mishnah. It said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, li'olam hu'ochel peri peros. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with Tanakama. Tanakama said, when he says, I will not go and eat your peros, so then that includes the first generation peros, the second generation peros, the third generation peros, it includes all of them. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said, if you said, I won't eat your peros, then it only includes the first generation peros, those peros that are growing from the field right now. But if he didn't eat them, and she kept them, because he didn't have the entitlement to them, so he kept them, for her, and therefore he goes and buys karka with that, and now these new karkas that he buys, they grow fruits. That's peros, perosam. That's the second generation that he has a right to, according to Yehuda, unless he specifically says peros, perosam. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learn the following brisa, Eluhem peros, Eluhem periperos. What I just told you is the, what the brisa says. What is the definition of peros? What is the definition of periperos? Hichnitza lo karka, if she brought karka into the marriage, the osa peros, and that karka yielded various types of fruits or crops or grain, so that is called peros, harayim peros, and that he's entitled to. But if he says, I won't take your peros, so then she's entitled to them. So therefore, mochar peros, if she eats those peros, fine, then they're gone. But if she sells those peros and gets money for them, and then she buys karka with that, v'lokach mehem karka, so now, the osa peros, if that new karka that she buys goes and produces crops, so then, harayim peri peros. That's the peri peros, that's the second generation, and that he's entitled to, unless he specified it otherwise. That's Rav Yehuda's difference with the Tanakhama. Now, Mark continues, and yes, in the base matter, Shibayluhu, Li Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Peri Peros Dafka, Odilmo Ad Olam Dafka, Odilmo Tavayu Dafka. And what this is basically asking over here is the Lashon that Rabbi Yehuda used, there are three possible ways to understand it. He said, in the next scenario, that the only way you wouldn't be entitled to a husband to have the Peri Peros is if he said, Peri Peros Ad Olam, forever, for all the different generations of the Peri Peros. And in that situation, he's not entitled to any Peros. So the question is, what did he exactly mean over here when he said Peri Peros? Then he said Ad Olam, and then he said, seemingly, both of them. So what is he actually saying? What's essential over here? So the three possibilities, that the Peri Peros is the essential, that the Ad Olam is essential, or both of them are essential. So which one is it? So Gemara says, "Im Timsiloma Peri Peros Dafka." If you tell me that once he says Peri Peros, that means he won't have any benefit from the second generation, and that includes the third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation. So then, Ad Olam Mamali. So then, why does he have to add the words Ad Olam? So we could answer that, Hakam Ashulah, by answering it in the following way. It's coming to teach us, Kivan the cost of La Peri Peros. Once he writes down Dinu Dvar mainly the Peri Peros, so then Kiman the cost of La Ad Olam Dami. It's teaching us as if he said Faba Ad Olam. Therefore, while the words Ad Olam aren't necessary, they're defining what Peri Peros means. So that's the first possible explanation over here. When he said Peri Peros, that was really everything. That was saying he won't benefit from any future subsequent generations, not only the first generation, but second, third, fourth, fifth, etc. generations. Why did he say Ad Olam? To teach us that that's what Peri Peros means, Ad Olam. Alternatively, Vim Tim Silomar Ad Olam Dafka. No, it's the Ad Olam that teaches us that he won't get any benefit from future generations. So then why did he say Peri Peros? Lomely. Why did he include that? So Gemara says, Hakam Ashlan, the Chiddush over here in the Mishnah is, Ava gav the cost of law Peri Peros, even though he said, I won't get Hanoah from the Peri Peros, so e cost of law Ad Olam in. It's only when he writes down forever that it includes forever. Elo, but if he doesn't write down forever, then it's only exactly what he said, so it would only be the second generation, but then he would theoretically be entitled to the third generation. And then the Gemara says the third possibility was Vim Tim Tzilom, you need both of them. You need both Peri Peros and Ad Olam Tavayu Dafka. You need both of them to be said. So why? Why do you need both of them? Tavayu Olam Ali. So that's simple. Tricha. You need that for the following reason. Because the cost of La Peri Peros, if you only wrote Peri Peros, the low cost of La Ad Olam, and you didn't write down forever, so then you know what I would have said. I would have said Peri Peros, who the Loach of the second generation, he can't eat. The first and second generation, he can't eat. Avo Peri, the Peri Peros. But the third generation, the first generation of the Peros, second generation of the Peri Peros. So that's what he said. If he didn't say Ad Olam, so then I would have thought that then, okay, the third generation, he's not allowed to eat. Avo Peri, the Peri Peros, he would be allowed to go and eat. Therefore, Ochel Yitzchuk Ad Olam. That's why it's telling me Ad Olam to teach us forever. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Okay. Because of Ad Olam, so just write Ad Olam. The locus of La Peri Peros, and don't write Peri Peros. You know what he said? Have I mean in that situation? I would have said the Olam Aheres Koi. It's only talking about the Peros, and therefore Lahachi Itzuch Peri Peros. I would have said that he meant only the Peros and not the Peri Peros. Why would I think that it doesn't mean the Peri Peros? Maybe it means, as Rashi says, in this situation, that it's talking about those Peros forever. Leoro a Peros Koi, as Rashi says. Libra Mas Lolam Peros Koi, Lo Ochel Ha Peros, I won't eat these first generation, Li Olam, forever. Lo Bishon Azu, Lo Bishon Mabos, I will never eat them, not this year or not next year. But the second generation, I will Peri Peros Ochel. That's why it says Ad Olam. So therefore, all three of these ways are possible to be understood, and therefore we don't come to a conclusion exactly what Rav Yehuda was definitively stating. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Ibaru, that's another question based on Medrash. Kos Avlo Dinu Dvar, mainly bin Chasayich. Ube Peri Peros. If the man says, I won't have anything to do with your properties and the Peri Peros, So the properties, he said, and the peros, the second generation said, but he didn't say anything about the first generation. So ma'o shocha peros, can he have the first generation? Do we say mi peri peros solik nafshe? Yes, he said, I won't have the second generation. However, mi peri lo solik nafshe, but he didn't refuse the right to get the peros of the first generation. Well, Dilma, maybe not. Oh, Dilma, mi call mi li solik nafshe. No, when he said, I won't have anything to do, dinu dorm enli binu chasayich of the peri peros, maybe he really saying, I won't have anything to do with any of your peros. So that's the question that the Gemara now asks. And the Gemara says, Pshita, it's clear and obvious that we call Mili Salak Nashay, that this means when he says, Dinu Dvarim Enli Binu Chasayach, with Peri Peros, it means everything, including the first generation. Because, the Amres, Mi Peri Peros Salak Nashay, Mi Peri Lo Salak Nashay, if you tell me it's only the second generation that he's refusing to have, but the first generation he's retaining the rights to, so then, Kivun Dachlinu Le Peros, if he gets those first generation peros, so then how do you ever get second generation peros? Peros, the hechel, where do they come from? If he eats them, if he takes them, and they belong to him, even if he buys property with them, that's his property. And certainly if he eats them up, that's his. So how would you ever have second generation peros? It must be that when he says, nechosayich and peros, it means even the first generation. Whereas it's not so fast. Ultamech, and according to you, what about the following Mishnah? We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, La'olavu ocha periperos, that he's always allowed to go and eat the periperos unless he specifically says otherwise. So, kivin dach lesinhu, the peri, since he ate the peros, peri mihecha. So, how could there ever be periperos if he ate up the first generation? So, elawat bidisharya. It must be that some were left over. And it's those that were left over. We used to go and buy new karka, and that's how you have periperos. So just like there was some left over there in the Mishnah, hachanami de bishai, so too there's some left over here, and therefore this ibaya is an ibaya de lo shitle. We don't answer this question. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that even if the husband said that I will not inherit you after you predecease me, so that doesn't apply because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you can't make a tanai neged mashakasa b'torah. How do we paskin on this? The Gemara says, Omer Rav, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Yes, we paskin like this, halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that he does inherit the wife. However, v'lo mitameh, but not because of the reason that you can't make it tonight against Masha Kosa B'Torah. Rav says, we paskin like what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, the husband does inherit the wife, but not for his reasoning that you can't make it tonight against Masha Kosa B'Torah. So the Gemara questions this and says, my halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, v'lo mitameh. What exactly did Rav mean when he said that the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but not because of his reasoning? So we're going to go through several possible explanations for what Rav meant, and we'll reject every one until the last one. Now, if you're telling me that Rav passing like the halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the husband inherits the wife after her death, the Amar Mesa Yerushana, he does inherit her, but labi tamei, but not for his reasoning, because he said, because you're going against what the Torah tells us, he holds that the Raisa, the husband inherits the wife, and if it's a din the Raisa, you can't make a tanai against it, and that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that even though he made this tonight, it's going against what Mashkasa B'Torah, and tonight won't take effect. And Rav says, Rav Sovar Tino Kayim. No, that this tonight does take effect because he disagrees. Rav disagrees with Shimon Gamliel, and he holds that Yerusha is not the rice of the Kasava. Yerusha is about the Rabbanan. He holds it's only the Rabbanan. And so then why does, if the Tanai should work against the Rabbanan, so why does he inherit her? Because Rav says, V'chacham mosu chizuk l'divreihem, the rabbis instituted additional strength and safeguards to their gezerah, yosu b'shel Torah, even more than the Torah had. Mi'na Torah, you can make a Tanai against mashkosu b'Torah, Rav holds. Not like Rabban Shimon Gamliel. However, against the Rabbanan, somewhat paradoxically, you can't make a Tanai against them because the rabbis gave chizuk to their words, yoser b'shel Torah. Is that what Rav is telling us? So we turn to Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. You're telling me then, Vesava Rav Tino Kayim, the Rav holds in this situation that a Tanai is going to work against Masha Kosa B'Torah, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But wait a second, we know that Rav didn't hold like that. Vo'itmar, we know that Rav held exactly like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you can't make a Tanai against Masha Kosa B'Torah. Because if a man says to his friend, he's selling his friend something. As Rashi says, I'm going to sell you this car, but it's on the condition that you can't come back at me and tell me that I charged you too much. Normally there are dinim, again, I'm not going to go into all the dinim over here, of a sale, but normally if you overcharge somebody by more than a sixth, so then that deal is able to be going back. In other words, the buyer can say, listen, you overcharged me and I don't want it. If it's less than a sixth, so he just has to possibly make up the overcharge, but the deal goes through. If it's a sixth, it's a machlokas. In any event, we're not going into those details right now, but if a person says, I'm only selling you the car with the condition that you don't take me to Beis Din, because if I overcharge you, you're willing to accept it. So then, Rav Amar, we don't go, because it's masna against mashakos of the Torah. The Torah tells you you're not allowed to be doing ona. And Rav clearly holds, like Rosh Hashanah Gamil, that says, you're not allowed to make a thing, it's mashakos of the Torah. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar, ain't olav ona. Shmuel says, in that situation, if both parties agree to it, then you can be masna against mashakos of the Torah. So what do we see? The Rav does hold that you're not allowed to be master against Mashiach of the Torah. So how can you tell me that Rav disagrees with the Rishon Galil? So what says you're right. When Rav said, we pass like Rishon Galil, but for a different reason, it's as follows. El halachi Rishon Galil, the halacha follows Rishon Galil, do amar master al Mashiach of the Torah, to no batel, that we do in fact say that tonight is batel in that situation. You can't go and make a tag against Mashiach of the Torah. But, v'lav mitameh. But the reason why over here the husband inherits the wife is not because of that, it's for a different reason. Because neither Rishon Galil, Gomar, Sovar, May, Soyu, Hashanah, Rishon Galil holds that if the wife dies, the husband does inherit her because you can't make a tie against Mashiach HaKosu B'Torah, and he holds that the Raisa, the husband, inherits the wife. V'Rav Sovar, May, Soyu, Hashanah. But Rav disagrees. Rav Paskin's over here that if she dies, the husband doesn't inherit her because this is a din d'rabbanan, and you can't go make a din even against a din d'rabbanan. The Tanai doesn't work even against a din d'rabbanan. So is that what you're telling me? Rav says that's terrible because that can't work out at all. Haimi taimei v'loki hozohu. Therefore, he agrees with his tam that you can't make a tie against Mashkos v'Torah, but he comes up with a different halacha. He says in this situation that the husband doesn't inherit the wife because he said that this is only a din d'rabbanan, and therefore the Tanai can go against the din d'rabbanan. So you end up having haimi taimei. He agrees with his tam v'loki hozohu, but he disagrees with the halacha l'maisa. So that's the exact opposite of what Rav said, and therefore that can't be what Rav is using to explain his statement. So therefore, what did Rav mean when he said the halacha is like Rishon Galil, but not for his reasoning? El halacha Rishon Galil, the Amar Meisa Yerushena. He holds that the wife, if she dies, the husband does inherit her because the lav mitamei, but not for his reasoning. Because again, the Rav Rishon Galil saw Rav the Raisa to know batel. He holds that you can't make a tanai against Mashkos b'Torah, and therefore the tanai is batel. But implication being, if it was only a din d'rabbanon to know kayim, a din d'rabbanon, you don't have the din that you can't make it tonight against a din d'rabbanon. In fact, Rav Shimon Galil says you can make it tonight against a din d'rabbanon. Whereas Rav Savar, afilu b'd'rabbanon to know batel. Rav holds that even a tonight against a din d'rabbanon doesn't work. And therefore, in this situation, the tonight against a din d'rabbanon won't work. So in this situation, the reasoning of Rav Shimon Gamliel is because a tanai doesn't work against Mashiach HaKosu B'Torah, but Rav holds it as dealing with a din d'rabbanan, and therefore that reasoning doesn't apply. But he does say that you can't make a tanai against a din d'rabbanan. So therefore, the Rav Savar, Rav Yilub d'rabbanan, Tano Batel. So Gemara says, Hai Kitaimei, Uki Ilchasahu. So then, Rav doesn't disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav holds exactly Rav Shimon Gamliel, that a tanai is not Mevatel Mashiach HaKosu B'Torah, and the halach is that the husband in this situation would inherit the wife, and all he did was Rav Mosefu to say, the reasoning is because it's a din d'rabbanan, and you can't make a tanai even against a din d'rabbanan. So all he's doing is adding on to Shmuel, but he's not saying the halach is not like Shmuel because of his reasoning. So Gemara says, you're right. All of these explanations where Rav said are incorrect, and here's the right one. Elo, in fact, halacha, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar Imesi Yerushena, the halacha follows Rishon Gamliel that says that if the wife dies, the husband does inherit her, but not mitaimei, v'lav mitaimei, because either Rishon Gamliel, Sava Yerusha's Abal Deraisa, because again, as we've said several times now, Rishon Gamliel holds that the Yerusha's Deraisa, and you can't make a time against Mashikos B'Torah, called Masa Mashikos B'Torah, to know Bato. Oh, so that was what Rishon Gamliel said. Very good. Rav Savar Yerusha's Abal Derabonin. Rav holds that, in fact, it's not a Din Deraisa, it's only a Din Derabonin. And the Chachamim Asu Chizuk LeDivrehem, Kishel Torah. But the rabbi said that our dinim derabbanon, you also can't make a tanai against them to give chizuk to them, to give them strength. And therefore, Rav holds that the halach is like Rav Shimon Gamliel said, which is that the husband doesn't inherit the wife, but not for the reasoning. The reasoning, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, is because it's a din deraisa. According to Rav, it's a din derabbanon. And in fact, a din derabbanon also, you can't make a tanai against it. So the Gemara says, really? Rav Sava Yerushas Habal Derabbanan? Does Rav really hold that? That Yerushas Habal is Derabbanan? But we learned in the following Mishnah, Bechoros, seemingly the opposite. Now, we'll ultimately explain that Rav is just explaining that Mishnah, but doesn't hold like it. But for right now, it says in that Mishnah, Bechoros, Rabbi Yochanan Bebroka Omer, Hayorish is Ishtof, a man goes and inherits his wife, Yachzir Libnei Mishpacha. He has to go and return the item to the family. What does he mean, Yachzir Libnei Mishpacha? So Rashi says, Biyovel. We're dealing over here that he inherited the wife and he has to go give the properties back at the Yovel. When you reach the Jubilee year, so then he has to go give back any properties that he inherited to the family. Now, ultimately, we can say that that's not true. But right now, in the Havamina, that's what we're working with. That he inherited from his wife, but at the Yovel, he has to give it back. And he has to give them a prorated discount for the years of the usage. Now, what does that mean? Doesn't make any sense, which we'll ask in a moment. And explain it better in a moment. So in Gemara in Brachos, they asked, they asked over there, Micah Saba, what exactly is Rabbi Yochanan Broker telling us over here? Doesn't make any sense. If you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me that the Yerusha of a husband to his wife, being able to inherit his wife, is it in deraisa, so then my yasir, so why should he return it? He's entitled to it on the deraisa level. And if you're going to tell me, the Rabbanon, he's only entitled to it on the Rabbanon level, so then domim my avidatayu. So then when he returns the property to her at the Yovel, so what money is there? He shouldn't get any money at all. He's not entitled to it. It's the Rabbanon, it belongs to the family. So therefore, at the Yovel, he should have to give it back without getting any money back. No prorated. So, and on that, Omar Rav, our Rav, said about Rav Yochanan Rebroka, La'olam kasava Yerushas about deraisa. You see that Rav is telling us that Rav Yochanan Rebroka holds Yerushas about deraisa. And that's why our question is, doesn't Rav hold like Rav Yochanan Rebroka? And ultimately, we'll say, no, he doesn't. But right now, we're saying Rav says that the explanation of Yochanan Rebroka is the olam kasava Yerushas about deraisa. And therefore, what are we dealing with here? We're not talking about Yovel. We're talking about Ruchagon Shorishtu Ishto Besakvoros. He inherited from the woman her family burial plot. And in this situation, Mishum Pegam Mishpoch, it would be a terrible disgrace to the family if that burial plot now was transferred over to a different family, to the husband's family. And therefore, Amar Rabbanon, the rabbi said that Mid Rabbanon, the family of the wife, is allowed to demand that they get back this field, this cemetery, albeit they have to pay for it. So Amar Rabbanon Lishkol Dumei Vilihader, that the family of the woman is allowed to force the sale back to their family of the cemetery. But what does it mean when it says Umayinakalem and Adamim, that they're allowed to pay a little bit less? It means Dumei Keverishto, the value of the kever of the guy's wife, because he has to pay for her burial. So that they don't have to go pay him for, because that's his responsibility. But the other 10 plots that are there, that the family has to go pay the husband for, albeit they can force him to go and sell it to them, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. And we see this in the Braisa, Kedetanya. Hamocha Kivro V'derech Kivro, if a person sells the burial plot, as well as the road to the burial plot, V'derech Kivro, Mi'amado U'mokom Hespedo, the Maimon is a place where they would make the 7 stops, and the Mokom Hespedo is a place where they would make eulogies. So if that was included in the sale, so Boyin B'nei Mishpacha, the Korvin Oso Baal Karcho. So the family has the right to go and get it back, albeit they have to pay for it, they're allowed to go take it back, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. The Brice says exactly what we just explained, that because this is a family burial plot, so the family has the right to go and buy it back. No, bottom line is, Rav seems to agree over here, Leolim Kosovar, Yerushas Habal D'Araisa. So how can you tell me that Rav holds it not D'Araisa? So Yomori says, Rav L'Taimei, Rav holds like his own Shita, and that is, the Rav Yochanan Ben Broka Komar, Rav is explaining Rav Yochanan ben Broka. He himself doesn't agree with Rav Yochanan ben Broka. He holds that Yerushas Habal is only in the Rabbanon. And therefore, the rabbis gave chizuk, and that's why the din is like Rav Shimon Gamliel said, but not because of Taimei. Because Rav holds, in fact, Yerushas Habal is only the Rabbanon. But Rav Yochanan ben Broka, in this mission of the Choros, Rav explains that he holds that Yerusha is the Araisa. So we've finally gotten to how Rav says the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, albeit not for his reasoning, because Rav Shimon Gamliel's reasoning was, you can't be master against Mashkos Matorah because he holds Yerushas Habal is Min HaTorah, and Rav holds that it's only the Rabbanon. And why is the Halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel? It's the Rabbanon. So why doesn't the Tanai take effect? Because the rabbis gave Chizuk L'Divrehem to not allow the Tanai to take effect even against the Rabbanon. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah starts and says, Mishnah is not somebody Nebuch dies, V'niach Isha, he leaves a wife who wants to collect the Ksuba, U'bachov, he has people that he owed money to, those are Balichov to him, V'yarshim, and he has his children that are inheriting his estate. So what do you do in this situation? And he has either a collateral in somebody else's possession that belongs to him, or milva b'yadachayim, or he lends somebody else money and it's in somebody else's possession. So that's the only money that right now that he has. So who does it go to pay? Does it pay the ksuba of the isha? Does it pay his balichov? Or does it pay the yarshim? The yarshim get to collect it. So b'tarfen omer, b'tarfen says, he not to lack kol shel shebahen. Give it to the kol shel shebahen, which we'll explain in the Gemara exactly what this means, but Rashi over here says that it means the one who is the least strong. The Gemara Mefarish Rashi says, mind you, and the Gemara will explain, it's the least strong taina, or it means to the wife. So Misha Meis V'niach Isha O'bachol V'yarshim, so Rabbi Tarfon says, Inosul L'koshavim, either we're going to the Isha or the Balchov, they're the weaker ones, and not to the Yarshim. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Merachmin Badim. We don't go take mercy on these other people. And therefore, you have to give it to the most strong, not the weakest one. Eli Yinosul Yarshin, they're the strongest ones to go collect this property. Shekul and Tzrichim Shua, because everybody else, such as the wife collecting Ruxuba, or the Balichov, that they want to go collect the Rayodu, have to make a Shua to go collect from the orphans. Vein Yarshin Tzrichim Shua, but they don't have to go make a Shua. The orphans don't have to make a Shua to the Balichov and the Isha, they just collect it. Mishnah continues and says, "Hiniach peros telushim in akarka." If the husband dies and there are fruits that are already detached from the karka that he owns, so kol hakodeh behem zochben, they're not in his actual field; they're someplace else. So the field of the yarshim doesn't go and get this on their behalf. So wherever these fruits are, so kol hakodeh behem zochben, whoever gets them first is entitled to them. They don't belong to anybody. Whoever goes and makes a kinyan on them first is entitled to them. So let's say the wife gets it, and the payros that are tlushin are worth $1,000, and the ksuba is only worth $500. So in this situation, she gets the $500, and the excess goes back. If she got more than her ksuba was worth, or the balchov was worth $1,000, and the payros were $2,000, so he has more money that he got, more pairs that he got than the chov is worth. So in this situation, the moser, the extra amount that either the wife or the bali chov collected, so what do you do with that? Hamoser, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinosu L'Kosha B'Hen. You give it to the weakest one, similar to what we said in the ratio of the Mishnah. You give it to the weakest one, whether that's the wife or the bali chov, we'll discuss more in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, again, like he did in the ratio. Eim Racham Adin, we don't take mercy on the din. We don't say that they won't be able to collect otherwise, whereas the Yoshim can collect, they're stronger. And therefore, Elo Yinosu L'Yarshim. So he says the strongest one to get it is the Yarshim. They should get it. Shekulam Shechim Shua. Again, for the same reason we said in the Reisha. Because the woman or the Balichov have to make a Shua, and the Yarshim, Ein HaYarshim Tzrichim Shua. They don't have to make a Shua. Okay, so a little bit of an enigmatic Mishnah at this point in time. Now let's go to the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, why did you have to tell me in the Reisha of the Mishnah, it said that if the husband has either a collateral out, a Pikadon, or he has a Milva out, so then that goes to either the weakest one according to Rabbi Tarfon or to Rabbi Kiva going to the Yarshim. So Lomali Misne Milva, the Lomali Misne Pikadon. Why do I have to give me both cases? Shouldn't one have been enough to teach you this then? Why says Tzrichi? You need both cases. Why is that? Because the E, Tana Milva, if you only told me the case of the Milva, the loan that was in the hands of somebody else owes the dead husband money, Beha, Kama Rabbi Tarfon. Only in that situation would Rabbi Tarfon say that you give it to the weakest one, because Mishum Demilva Lotzonidu, because that's not the same money that he gave out. When you give somebody $1,000 and you give it to them in bills, you don't expect to get back all those $20 bills. You know, of course, they're going to use those $20 bills, and you get back a different $1,000. So therefore, when it comes to a loan, it's understood that that's totally out of the domain of the person who lent the money. But a pikadon, our pikadon, the isei benei, that vase that you're using as the pikadon for the loan, so then, emamode lele Rabbi Akiva. Maybe Rabbi Tarfon would agree to Rabbi Akiva. In that situation, it's as if it belongs to the Yarshim already. And therefore, maybe Rabbi Tarfon would be motivated to Rabbi Akiva in the case of a pikadon. Therefore, you have to tell me the case of pikadon. So just tell me the case of the pikadon. So then I would have said, Baha, come Rabbi Akiva. Only in that situation does Rabbi Akiva say that the heirs, the Yarshim, they get it because it's extant. I will bahach, but in the case of the milva, maybe Ema Moda Rabbi Tarfon, that milva load saw nitness. And therefore, maybe Rabbi Akiva would be Moda Rabbi Tarfon, and therefore Tzricha. That's what had to tell me both of the cases to show me the strength of Rabbi Akiva in one case, and to show me the strength of Rabbi Tarfon in the other case. Now we finally get to the question we alluded to in the Mishnah, my la kosher. Rabbi Tarfon said that the weakest one gets it, the kosher, the weak one. So who is the weakest one? So again, we have two explanations, which is what I told you when we did the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Omer, la kosher shebiraya, the one that has the weakest raya, whether that's the widow or whether that's one of the Baalei Chov, will depend on what their raya is. As Rashi says, l'mi shishtar v'bucha, whichever one of them has the later shtar, shelo yuchol litrov l'kuchos hakodem lo. They won't be able to go get from earlier l'kuchos, earlier property that was sold by the husband. So therefore, we give it to the weakest one, because Rabbi Tarfon says that's the proper thing to do, because they won't be able to collect it from the Yerusha in any other way. So that's the first opinion. Rabbi Yosef Chanina, it says, l'koshel means the weakest raya, in other words, the latest dated document. Riochan disagrees. Riochan Omar liksubas isha mishum chinah. He says that it means you give it to the woman to pay for her ksuba because of chinah. Rashi explains mishum chinah means shimtzu hanoshim chein b'ani hanoshim. This way, women know that if they're married to somebody, they'll have the first crack at any properties that are given out, a milva or a pikadon, and therefore you know suos lehen. They'll be quick to marry them because they know shlo tidagena. They won't be worried the hafsid ksubasa that they can lose their ksuba. So this is a slightly different explanation. In the Ramasa Lutuvasisha Mishubchina, so Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Shimtzu Anoshim Chaim Beinei HaAnoshim, that women who get such property will be easy to marry. So therefore, they'll be entitled to get money, and they'll make them heal and kovtsim yoser. That they'll be, therefore, people will be more willing to marry this widow. So it's a similar idea that the women will do this. If you give it to the women will be quicker to go get married, and that's what China means. Okay, that's Rav Yochanan's understanding. Rav Yossi Rav Chanina says, no, you give it to the weaker document, the one that has the later date on it. And in fact, this machlokas between these two Amorayim is kitanoi, is the same as a tanoik machlokas that we had in the following brisa. In the brisa it says, Rabbi Binyamin Omer, Rabbi Binyamin says, la koshel shebarai, you give it to the weaker raya. Exactly, like Rav Yossi Rav Chanina said. And that's the right thing to do. Who kosher? As Rashi explains, who kosher? Hadover kosher v'hogun l'asus kein. This is proper. This is nice. This is the erlich way to do it. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Rabbi Elazar Omer, no, you give it l'ksubas isha mishum chinah, just like Rabbi Yochanan said. You give it to the woman because this will spur her to be able to go get married or will make them want to get married, like Rashi said, l'chatchila in the first place. Then we quote the Mishnah, Hiniach peros tedlushin, if there was fruits that had already been detached but aren't in the possession of the karka of the Yorshin, so then whoever grabs it first will go and get it. And if there's mosar, if there's the one who grabbed it, let's say the wife grabbed it, and it was worth twice as much as a ksuba, so the mosar, the extra, or if the Baal Chov grabbed it, and he's only owed half of it, so the rest of it goes to the Yorshin. That's what the Mishnah said. Now, Rabbi Akiva, my year, your Moser. Rabbi Akiva seemed to agree with Rabbi Tarfon. He says the Moser goes to the Yarshim, whereas Rabbi Tarfon said the Moser goes to the weakest one. So why doesn't Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, my year, your Moser. Kulunami, the Yarshim Havu. He holds that everything goes to the Yarshim, and not only the Moser. He says, yeah. And Hachanami, he does hold that everything goes to the Yarshim. The Aidi, the Omer, Rabbi Tarfon, Moser. Since Rabbi Tarfon is only talking about the Moser, so Rabbi Akiva just talks about the Moser as well. Tani, you, Nami, Moser. But in fact, he holds that the whole thing doesn't go to the Koshel Shebinim, or the first one that grabbed it. Rabbi Akiva holds that everything goes to the Yarshim. You have to not be Merachimim in the Din. You can't go and do what you think is a nice thing to do, but you have to follow the Din. And the Din says that it goes to the Yarshim. We turn to Peidal Rami Beis now. Rabbi Akiva, Tfisa lo mahanya klal. So Gemara is asking here a question, according to the top Rashi. Loshon she'elo who's that? This is a question. According to Rabbi Akiva, you never could go grab that it would work to go and allow the person who grabbed it to go and keep it? So I'm a Rabbi Nachman. Yes, there isn't such a case. Rabbi Nachman says, Fushatofas mechayim. If he grabbed it while the father was still alive, so then if the Baal Chov grabbed it, so then once the father dies, so then the Baal Chov is entitled to keep it in that situation. As Rashi says, "Diba Masal Amar Rav Nachman, Mahanya Heched Detopas Mechayim Shomeis." While the person who ultimately died was still alive, V'Halchi Gomel Rav Nachman Rabbe. This is what Rav Nachman learned from his Rabbe. Who should Topas Mechayim? Ah, Yol Rabbi Tarfon, the Manche Hecha. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, who says whoever grabs it gets it first. So where is it when they're going to grab it? So Rav Shmuel, the Amrit Tavaya, both Rav and Shmuel say, "Who should Tziburin Umunochem Bishus Rabbe." Again, they can't be in the Yorshim's property, or else the Yorshim's property would acquire it for them. So we're dealing here that it's in the Rishus HaRabim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that's why whoever grabs it can go and make a kinyan on it. They pick it up, and therefore they make a kinyan on it. Avol b'simta lo. But if it was in a simta, Rashi explains the simta is Keren Zovis HaSmuch L'Rishus HaRabim. This is like an alleyway that's right next to Rishus HaRabim. Ubnei Adam Osim Schora Zam Zam, people that do business over there on the side of the public area, Bishok on the marketplace, Virotzaladabra Dirim Benachas, Vishavadas, Mistalkal and Shami. You want to have a private conversation over there and have a good business discussion, so we'll go off to the side of the road. It's still Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but there, in fact, you could make a kinyan. Abu Besimta Lo. So here, in this simta, Rabbi Tarfon would say that the Yorshim did acquire it. As Rashi says, the Yomasal of a simta lo, I'm Rabbi Tarfon, kol ha-kodim zocha, only applies the cave of the Mokham Aroi le-kinyin hu, kiderinim yalma, the Meshich ha-kanya, only the place where a kinyin would work. So there, afil le-man diyom, b'shus ha-rabim, lo kanya, in b'shus ha-rabim, you can't make a kinyin, ain't a Mokham hefker. It's not a Mokham of hefker, but zocha ben Yorshim, mishas misa, and the Yorshim would get it from the time of the death. Ba-machzik bo shom, ke-machzik bo b'bei som. In the simta, that's considered like it's already in their possession, and Rabbi Tarfon would say that then the property is considered to be by the Yarshim already if it's in the simta. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, they disagree. Afilu b'simta, even in the simta, Rabbi Tarfon would say that that's not considered a place where the Yarshim make a kinyan on it, and therefore, even in the simta, if the kol kolim zocho, whoever got to it first, would be koneh in that situation. Don't dayone Rabbi Tarfon. Once it was a Maisa Shahoya where they judged the case like Rabbi Tarfon and they gave it to the Koshel Shabahen. So that's how the Dayonim paskin in that situation. Bahadre Reish Lakish li uvda minayu. Then when it came to Reish Lakish, he switched around the din and he took back the property that they gave to the Koshel, took back the milva or the item that they gave to the Koshel, and he returned it to the Yarshim, like Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, you made it sound over here like Rabbi Akiva is a din daraisa. It's halacha l'moshe b'sinai. It's a machlokes. It's Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Tarfon. So this is a shikul hadas. So the judges, they paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. No, you paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha even may be like Rabbi Akiva, but the judge is allowed to paskin differently. So why did you return it to the Yarshim when, in fact, the judges had paskin like Rabbi Tarfon that you give it to the koshel shabahen? So where it says, maybe, lema b'hokim ivli. This is what Rabbi Leish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were arguing about. Let us say the Mar Sovar Reish Lakish holds, in fact, Torah B'Dvar Mishnah Choser, that this is the Dvar Mishnah, and therefore they made a mistake. The halach is like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore Torah B'Dvar Mishnah is Choser. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds Mar Sovar Torah B'Dvar Mishnah ain't a Choser. It's a Shikol Adas. Okay, yes, we do Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but since there is the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, they have the right to have Paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, even though we're wrong. We should have Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but we don't go and retract it after they did that. So let us say that's the reason why Reish Lakish or Yochanan disagreed over here. Shmuel says, no, that's not it. In fact, everybody agrees that if you made a mistake in the Psak Halacha, even though it's a Mishnah and not a Minat Torah, that the din goes back, that you correct the error that you made. So then how come Rabbi Yochanan says not in this situation? Rabbi Reish Lakish said yes. This is what Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing about. Mar Sovar, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro v'lo mirabo. We pass like Rabbi Akiva against any one of his colleagues, but not against his Rebbe. And Rabbi Tarfon was his Rebbe. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan holds that we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva against his Rebbe. And therefore, you couldn't go and be chozer like Reish Lakish did. Whereas Reish Lakish holds, Mar Sovar, Halacha afilu mirabo. Rabbi Akiva argues against anybody, even against his Rebbe, even against Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva wins, and it's a Tov Dvar Mishnah, and the Halacha is Choser. So that's what they were arguing about. Do we have the rule that Rabbi Akiva wins against his Rebbe or not? Against any one individual, Rabbi Akiva wins, but Rabbi Yochanan says not against his Rebbe, whereas Reish Lakish says even against his Rebbe. Alternatively, if you boy say, well, this could be what they were arguing about, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, everybody agrees that we only pass like Rabbi Akiva when he's one-on-one against one of his chaverim, but not against his Rebbe. And what are they arguing about then? That it should be, that it shouldn't be Choser, because Rabbi Tarfon is his Rebbe. And this is what they're arguing about. Was Rabbi Tarfon his Rebbe or not? So Rabbi Yochanan holds Ma'asavar, Rabbi Tarfon Rabbo Haba. And Reish Lakish holds Ma'asavar, Chaveru Haba. He was only a chaver. It was a Talmud chaver. And therefore, we would paskin like Rabbi Akiva, even against Rabbi Tarfon, and that's why Reish Lakish says it's Choser. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Tarfon was his Rebbe, and we wouldn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva against his Rebbe. Finally, a third answer is, we could answer the Kuliyama Chaveru Haba. Everybody agrees that Rabbi Tarfon was not Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. They were Talmud chaver, maybe, but not his full Rebbe. Then why Reish Lakish and Yochanan arguing? Because Reish Lakish holds Mar Sovar Halacha Itmar, that this was a halacha that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva against any of his colleagues. As opposed to Rav Yochanan says, no, we don't always paskin like Rav Akiva. Umar Savar, matin itmar. We usually paskin. We lean towards Rav Akiva's opinion, but it's not an absolute rule. And therefore, if somebody doesn't paskin like Rav Akiva, we don't say it's a Mishnah, Tovim, Dar Mishnah, the Chozer. So we have three answers over here why Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlokish disagreed. Now we have a Maisa Shoya. Kerebi, the Rav Yochanan, the relatives of Rav Yochanan, Tofus Paro, the Yasme Misimta. They, in fact, did exactly the case. They were owed money, and they grabbed a cow in a simta. It was on the side alleyway off the Rishus HaRabim, and they grabbed it from the orphan's possession. And they said, your father owed us money. So also coming to Rav Yochanan, they went to Rav Yochanan to ask him, are we going to win this case? So Amar Lahu, Rav Yochanan said, Shapit Vastua. Yeah, you did a good thing by grabbing it, because we paskin over here like Rabbi Tarfa, that says in this situation, you have the right to go and grab it. Now, they didn't go to Rav Yochanan to paskin because he was a relative, and he's an Ogab Devar, and he couldn't paskin it. So they just went to him for advice. Then they went to the Din Torah, they went to the base Din of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Also came to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, and they went to him to adjudicate it, and Amalu, he said to them, Zilu Ahadur, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't go to the Koshel Shebehem, it goes to the Yarshim. And therefore, you don't have the right to go grab this cow from the Simta, it goes to the Yarshim. So they were surprised. They went back to their relative, to Rav Yochanan. Also, came to Rav Yochanan and said, hey, you told us that we would win, but he paskin that we would lose. So Amalu, he said, what can I do? Moaz said, I'm sorry. Shekinegdi cholokolai. He's my equal. He passed in the case. He was a judge on the case. I couldn't be the judge because I was a relative. I was an Ogeh Bedavar. And therefore, he passed. He passed like Rabbi Akiva. I would have passed like Rabbi Tarfon. And therefore, I would have said it goes to you. Nope. He's the bottom line. He's the judge. And therefore, you have to follow what he says. Another Maisha saw you. How Bakra Diasme. Rashi says Bakra Diasme is Shomer Behemoseim. This is a shepherd that's watching their animals. So there once was a shepherd that was watching certain animals of the Yisomim. The Tose Tura Mine. And somebody came and grabbed the Balchov of the Yisomim's father, came and grabbed one of the oxen that he was watching. Balchov Amar Mechaim Tofis Nole. He said, I grabbed it while it was still alive. So even Rabbi Akiva would say in that situation, as we brought down, that I'm entitled to go and grab it while the father was alive. But the shepherd over here said, no, it was la'achamisa tafsa. He grabbed it after your father already died. And therefore, he has to give it back because we paskin in that situation that it goes to the Yarshim and you can't go and grab it. No, also coming to Rav Nachman, they went to Rav Nachman to adjudicate the din. And Amalei, he said to the bakra, he said over here to the shepherd, Is lo sade de tafse? Do you have proof that these balichov grabbed the ox? So Amalei lab. No, I don't have proof that they grabbed the ox. So Amalei. So Rav Nachman said to him, "Sorry, buddy. Migo the ochol lemeimar lakua chubiyadi. They could technically argue that we bought it from the father of the orphans, from the yarshim. So yochol nami lemeimar mechayim tafis nolei. So they have a migo. Since we could have argued a better argument that we bought it from the father, so believe us, we use the less good argument to say that in fact we took it while the father was still alive." Where it says, "Vamari Shlakish, ha godros en len chazaka." Rashi explains that godros are animals that are movable. So godros is behemoth daka, a small animal like a goat or sheep. Hashem gidros tzon, that are in a pasturing type of a situation, and you can't make a chazaka on them because they're constantly moving around. So therefore, you don't have the right to go and make a chazaka on these animals. So why was this person allowed to go and make a chazaka on these animals that he grabbed? The balchov grabbed the ox. How can you make a chazaka on it? Rish Lakish says you can't. So the Gemara says, no, an ox is different. The Godros, he says, with behemoth daka, those are goats and sheep. An ox is a behemoth gasa. Shani Torah, an ox is different. The Mesira Leroa, because that you always give over to a shepherd. So the shepherd has it, and therefore, in this situation, you can make a kinyan from that shepherd. It's different than the Godros. Finally, the last thing for the Shia today, the Venesia, from the house of the Nasi. These people were owed money from certain orphan's father. So what do they do? Tofus Amsa Diyasme. They grab the maidservant of these Yisomim Misimta from Misimta. Now, if you pass them like Rabbi Tarfon, that's allowed. But if you pass them like Rabbi Kiva, it's not allowed. So Yosef, Rabbi Abov, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcho, they were the three judges, and they were the based in the Yosef, Rabbi Abov, Gabayo. And Rabbi Abov was there as well. Amar Lahu, the three judges, now it should have been Amru Lahu. That's why we find that the Rashash changes this word Amar Lahu to Amru Lahu. In any event, the Beis Din goes and tells to the Beinasiyah, to the people from the house of the Nasi, and they said to them, Amar Lahu, Amru Lahu, Shapir Tofis Tua. You did the right thing by going and grabbing it, because we passing like Rabbi Tarfon. Amalu Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was sitting there, said to them, what are you talking about? Mishum debay nasiya ninu machlifisiu luhu, because they're from the house of the Nasi, from the debay nasiya, you're going to go and appease them and go and paskin like Rabbi Tarfon? There were those that passed like Rabbi Tarfon, and then when they came to adjudicate the case in front of Reish Lakish, he returned it. In other words, we passed like Rabbi Akiva and not like Rabbi Tarfon. So therefore, Rabbi Abba told these three Dayanim, Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, and Rabbi Yitzhak, you're making a mistake, and don't pass like Rabbi Tarfon. In fact, pass him like Rabbi Akiva. We're in the middle still of this sugya, but this is a good break point. Baruch Hashem, we caught off another Omud, and with this we conclude today's shir.